David Chang never intended to become a culinary icon. The son of Korean immigrants in Northern Virginia, his early life revolved around golf winning, back-to-back state championships by age 9, and navigating the crushing expectations of his father. This relationship, marked by conditional love and micromanagement, his father even forced young David to abandon his natural ambidexterity to develop a proper golf swing, laid the foundation for Chang's complex relationship with authority and success. When the yips, a psychological condition causing loss of fine motor skills, derailed his golf career, Chang found himself adrift. After college and a brief stint in a soul-crushing corporate job, he made the radical decision to attend culinary school, where he immediately stood out, for all the wrong reasons. Chang's early culinary career was defined by brutal 18-hour days at prestigious establishments like Kraft and Café Boulud. Despite fumbling basic tasks, he showed up daily, sometimes working for free until finally earning paid positions. The punishing environment, handling labor-intensive tasks like whittling sugarcane shrimp skewers by hand, eventually broke him. When his mother's cancer returned amid family business disputes, Chang fell into his first full-blown depressive episode. He became fixated on suicide, courting danger by cycling recklessly through Manhattan traffic. In therapy with Dr. Elliot, Chang reasoned that if nothing mattered, if his depression wouldn't lift, he had nothing to lose by opening a restaurant. This desperate logic birthed Mama Fuku Noodle Bar in a tiny 600-square-foot East Village space financed by $100,000 from his father and Chang's saved $27,000. Mama Fuku's early days were a disaster, with customers rejecting everything from the noodles to the stools. The pivot came after Chang and his colleague Quino realized they could outperform trendy competitors by cooking food they actually wanted to make. They'd been compromising with conventional dishes like dumplings, while their only hit was the pork buns that drew late-night cooks. Chang's history of hiding his Asian-American food preferences had held them back. Their new philosophy became simple. Nobody knows anything, so do what you want. When Chang expanded to Mama Fuku Sambar, the initial Asian Chipotle concept failed. With dwindling capital, they switched to bold, chef-focused cuisine, spicier dishes, and unconventional choices like charging for bread and serving offcuts. Their Bosam pork shoulder became legendary, with strategic reservation times at 5:30 and 10:30 filling off-peak hours. Their third venture, Mama Fuku Co., emerged when health department pressure forced changes at Noodle Bar. Co.'s counter-service tasting menu merged European techniques with Mama Fuku's signature style, having cooks serve guests directly. A year after opening, Noodle Bar thrived despite, or because of, Chang's embrace of conflict. They battled City Hall over their name, the EPA over complaints, and PETA over foie gras. They even confronted customers, once sending a waiter to deliver a crude message to someone who suggested serving shell-free crawfish. Chang deliberately stoked internal tension, too, pairing incompatible cooks and challenging his team relentlessly. After eating somewhere impressive, he'd return to tell his crew they looked amateur. This combative approach stemmed from Chang's struggle with Han, the Korean emotion mixing strife, sadness, and resentment. As a Twinkie, yellow outside, white inside, his complex relationship with his Korean identity deepened this Han. Yet amidst this tension, Mama Fuku's food flourished. They treated the dining room as their classroom, studying customers' reactions and evolving recipes accordingly. Breaking from convention led to innovations, like Chang's accidental discovery that blasting pork belly at high heat before slow cooking it in its fat produced superior results. As Chang built his empire, his mental health deteriorated. He battled panic attacks, shingles, and severe anxiety, conflating kitchen failures with personal worth. Mama Fuku became his entire identity. Despite accolades like James Beard nominations and food and wine recognition, Chang felt undeserving, even trying to decline being named one of Food and Wine's best new chefs. At 35, Chang entered what he calls an unbroken streak of personal and professional horrors. While running Ciobo in Australia, his leadership faltered. His parents received cancer diagnoses on the same day, friends died, and a mentored cook overdosed. He gained 50 pounds, and his anger issues manifested as temporary psychosis. Everything shifted after executive coach Marshall Goldsmith interviewed Chang's circle, delivering a harsh truth. It's incredible that so many people have stayed by your side for so long when they can't stand you. Chang met Grace at an East Village rooftop barbecue, and despite his usual aversion to commitment, they began dating. Like Chang, Grace was Korean-American who grew up in a predominantly white area, creating a natural cultural connection. She stood by him through medication adjustments, manic episodes, and restaurant ventures. Learning of Grace's pregnancy the day after Anthony Bourdain's death prompted Chang to reconcile with old adversaries. Their son Hugo's birth melted away his anger. At Hugo's Bake Ill celebration, Chang finally addressed his father about a childhood injury, receiving an unexpectedly humble response that changed his perspective. Chang realizes his success is inextricably linked to his depression. He succeeded precisely because he had nothing to lose. He learned that depression isn't conquered through willpower alone, but by choosing daily to resist destructive impulses, much like a Jedi fighting the dark side. Chang compares restaurants to lobsters, which must periodically molt their shells, a vulnerable process, and only stop when dying. This metaphor reflects his career cycle of building, destroying, and rebuilding. His focus on growth often clashes with business metrics, once leading a Fuku board member to call him the worst business person they'd ever met for prioritizing food quality over profits. The Me Too movement prompted Chang to examine systemic issues within restaurant culture. At Major Domo, his Los Angeles restaurant, he embraced his heritage by creating a Korean-American cheesecake factory with generous portions and accessible dishes. Through studying Cubism, Chang gained new appreciation for Alice Waters, seeing her as a Duchamp-like figure who redefined cooking on her own terms. Looking ahead, he envisions restaurants becoming creative hubs for cultural preservation while better protecting their workers. Chang's journey shows that success stems from finding purpose through constant reinvention, not just building empires. When faced with criticism about Ko's exclusivity, he responded by implementing an egalitarian online reservation system. Rather than compromise his vision when challenged, he strengthened his resolve. Failing forward became Chang's guiding principle. By learning from mistakes, he turned setbacks into opportunities. His willingness to challenge convention in cooking, design, and menu planning kept Momofuku evolving, though this perfectionism often strained his mental health and relationships. Chang found creative strength in the tension between his Korean heritage and American upbringing. This cultural duality helped him develop a unique culinary voice. His personal growth from self-doubt to acceptance mirrored Momofuku's evolution from upstart to institution. Through fatherhood and therapy, Chang discovered balance between creative chaos and stability, proving that innovation comes from embracing one's authentic self, contradictions and all.